Pop Radio. Everybody's listening to it.
I want to talk about, I was on a program recently, the Bill O'Reilly Show, The Factor, and on it he mentioned to me that our audience, the audience of The Daily Show, was comprised primarily, I believe the figure he quoted was 87%, of stoned slackers, and obviously many of them here. I took it as a piece of humor. He took it, I believe, as a piece of humor. Unfortunately, Comedy Central, not so much. They released a study saying that our viewers actually are better educated than O'Reilly's viewers, and that the University of Pennsylvania actually had a study saying that Daily Show viewers are more well-versed in current events than people who only watch news channels, which I have to say, I just have to say this to our viewers. What's up, nerds? No, I was blown away, and I have a confession to make after reading about that. We here at the show are clearly in over our heads. I always thought that our audience was stone slackers, and wouldn't have been surprised if they were also felons. And now that I know how smart you are, I feel like we do a terrible job for you. I mean, our show is literally just filled with references to genitals and bodily functions. Now I'm intimidated. Feel like a poopy head. But speaking of O'Reilly, President Bush overcame his disdain of the media filter to sit down with the Fox News host this week for a three-part interview seen by O'Reilly's audience of 3 million people, most of whom watch his program Tweaked on Crystal Meth. Jittery paranoids, I call them. O'Reilly set the early tone.
First of all, I really respect the president for doing the interview. Even if you don't support Mr. Bush, you have to admire his willingness to discuss the issues in a venue like this.
You have to respect the president of the United States for doing an interview on the most conservative TV network in the country. How is a hamanahu? But the president's courage, according to O'Reilly, didn't end there.
The president did not receive the questions in advance, nor were there any restrictions on what I could ask. Again, that's impressive.
No, it's not. It's not impressive. It's the least you can do and still qualify as an interview. If you do anything different, that's called scripting. Although, to his credit, Mr. O'Reilly did give some tough questions and then, of course, helped the president out by also providing the answers.
The mission accomplished statement in May 2003, if you had to do it all over again, would you not have done it?
Well, first of all, the statement said, thank you for serving in Afghanistan and Iraq. Now, I'm going to go and thank our troops every chance I get.
But the press spinned it. You know how they spinned it.
Yeah, they've done spinned it. Media for treating this like it was political theater. All the president did was deliver a simple thank you aboard a Viking warplane under a giant mission accomplished banner. But if you listen to the press spin, it was like he had prematurely declared victory.
Major combat operations in Iraq have ended. In the Battle of Iraq, the United States and our allies have prevailed.
Spinners. And if you listen to the liberal elite, they implied that Bush said we were about to find weapons of mass destruction.
We've begun the search for hidden chemical and biological weapons, and already know of hundreds of sites that will be investigated.
Want to know how that turns out? Very similar to Al Capone's vault. But those hippie press freaks, they would make you believe that the president implied Saddam Hussein and Osama bin Laden were allies.
We've removed an ally of Al-Qaeda. and cut off a source of terrorist funding.
Damn you, liberal file footage! Damn you, TiVo!
Actually, O'Reilly realizes the left-wing media isn't the only problem. There's also left-wing academia.
Because you went to Yale and Harvard.
I did.
And they're all pinhead liberals over there, right?
I haven't spent a lot of time analyzing why professors feel the way they feel.
You just want to get out of the class. I was the same way, you know.
Seriously, education is for jackasses. But anyway. But it was on the subject of his and John Kerry's service records in Vietnam that the president was at his most plausibly deniable.
Do you think you got any preferential treatment getting into the Air Guard during Vietnam?
No, I don't. If I did, I'm not aware of it.
You didn't know anything about the SWIFT boat as before they went on the air, did you?
No, I didn't.
Karl Rove know anything about it?
I don't think so. In other words, you're asking whether they coordinated this in our campaign?
No, whether they gave you a heads up they were going to do it.
Not to my knowledge.
So there you have it. A definitive, I'm not aware of it, I don't think so, and not to my knowledge. It's all part of the Bush campaign's latest slogan, if we're evil, it's news to us. Meanwhile, Senator John Kerry also took to the airwaves today, showing off his Wisconsin suntan during part one of a two-part interview with Diane Sawyer, who asked the Democrat a simple question.
Was the war in Iraq worth it?
We should not have gone to war knowing the information that we know today.
I'll take that as a...
Give us a clear answer!
So it was not worth it.
We should not. It depends on the outcome, ultimately, and that depends on the leadership.
Okay, that's good, but let's try this again. But this time, longer and more complicated.
So... If it turns out okay, it was worth it?
No.
But right now it wasn't?
It was a mistake to do what he did, but we have to succeed now that we've done what he did. I mean, look, we have to succeed. But was it worth, as you asked the question, $200 billion and taking the focus off of Osama bin Laden and Al-Qaeda? That's the question.
Am I in heaven? You know, were you not prepared for her to ask about Iraq? Did you not think the Iraq thing might come up? Because you really should prepare, because I think at the debate tomorrow, I think it's going to come up.
How about those presidential debates? You see the debates last night? How many of you thought George W. Bush won last night? How many of you thought John Kerry won last night? It was a big night, either way you look at it, and for the first time in his life, Jim Lehrer was the most exciting person in the room. Never happened before. As you know by now, Bush and Kerry debated foreign policy in Miami last night. Is Miami having a bad year or what? Haven't these people suffered enough? Last night's debate was on foreign policy, and if you saw it, you know that Bush spent the entire evening gloating about the arrest of Cat Stevens. I don't know if you know about this, but one of the ground rules for the debates, Bush and Kerry were not allowed to touch during the debates. But don't worry, they made up for it after the show. What? What? But that's it for George Bush. He will not have to be in the next debate. His dad got him out of it.
Pleasure to see you. Pleasure to be back. I hosted 4 years ago. So let's talk about how television and the world have changed since I was here 4 years ago. Let's see if we can figure this out. I cannot tell one reality show from the other. I was watching one the other day. It was taking place on the street. There were these gardeners arguing with these contractors. I thought, okay, this is interesting. Who's going to get eliminated here? Then a garbage truck pulled up. The garbage man formed an alliance with the gardener. And then a woman who was clearly a hooker walked up. And she rang the doorbell. And then my doorbell rang. And I realized I've been watching my security camera for 45 minutes. Thinking, this is a good show. I could sell that show. What's in front of Gary's door? I know there's a lot of executives here. If you're interested, I'll be here for 3 hours. Talk to me about it. It's to the point now when a television commercial comes on, I go, thank God, professional actors in a story. I've watched The Simple Life. I think Paris Hilton is right for me. Paris Shandling. Or Gary Hilton. I don't care, whichever way she wants it. I'm just telling you, I got towels that say Shandling and towels that say Hilton. I'm ready. And if that none of that works out, Donald, I got towels that say Trump. The ball's in your court, my friend. I salute you, Donald. It's nice to see a man who's paid his dues, worked hard. We all know what it feels like to have to build 80-story condos and gambling casinos just to get our foot in the door in show business. And Al Pacino, the great Al Pacino, is here. You tell me another award show that has this kind of range, Donald Trump to Al Pacino. So great in Angels in America. What a wonderful... And Joan of Arcadia, a terrific show where a young girl... where a young girl talks to God. God had a good year. God got a lot of nominations. But you got to remember his son had that big hit movie. He had to step up. That's a very difficult transition to make from deity to features. What has happened since I was here? We missed Osama bin Laden, but we got Martha Stewart. Don't tell me we're not a focused country. Don't we feel a little safer? Don't we feel a little safer? You think Osama bin Laden's sitting there thinking, oh, they're getting warmer. They get Dan Rather, they got me. Where's it going? If the conservatives want to stop homosexuals from having sex, shouldn't they let them get married? That seems to stop my married buddies. I don't know what's going on. You got HBO. They get 124 nominations for excellence in television. Their slogan is, we're not television, we're HBO. Then what are you doing here? So people think HBO has an advantage because of the language and no commercials, yet you watch network television and the programs are clean, and in the commercial they say, if you have a 4-hour erection, call a doctor. You go, whoa, whoa, whoa. And now back to the West Wing. You go, wait a minute. You, who has what? Me? Martin Sheen, who's got this what? And by the way, if I have a 4-hour erection, I'm not calling a doctor. I'm calling everybody. My doctor's like 25th down the list because he's got cold hands.
If you don't want the world to think your religion is medieval, stop beheading people.
You know, Texans are bloodthirsty and dim, and they learn to use an electric chair. Come on, Islam, join the 19th century. New rule. If you're blind, you don't have to pick up your guide dog's poop. Here in California, a blind couple is headed to court over complaints that they didn't. You see, they would have, but they can't see shit. Besides, that blind couple has more important things to worry about, like their jobs as document checkers for CBS. New rule. The New York Times must stop running underwear ads like this. It's not a good feeling to be reading about the tragic Darfur region in the Sudan with a hard-on. New rule. George W. Bush must start drinking again. If he's going to talk crazy talk like freedom's on the march in Iraq and hey, we're going to Mars, then at least give us the option of saying it's just the Jim Beam talk. Plus, man, you're beating a war hero in an election, even though you're the worst president in history. If you don't deserve to party, who does? And finally, new rule, let the two men America really wants to see run for president, run for president. Last week, our old buddy Dana Rohrabacher introduced a constitutional amendment suggesting immigrants like, oh, I don't know, Arnold Schwarzenegger, be allowed to run for president. And I say, fine. But then we get Clinton. Each tribe gets its greatest warrior. Why aren't we doing that anyway? Where is the twisted logic to the 22nd Amendment, which says you can't be president if you've done it twice? Reese Witherspoon's done two Legally Blonde movies. Next time, does it have to be Lil' Kim? And in a nation of immigrants, we tell immigrants they can't run? Sorry, Arnie, you can take that what a country, immigrant's dream, anything's possible crap and put it where it belongs in a speech nominating a former town drunk from Texas. I mean, not to be cruel to the candidates we have, but why are we preventing ourselves from selecting from the top of our political gene pool? Even under general anesthesia, Clinton was more exciting than Kerry. This guy couldn't light a crowd on fire with napalm. But a debate between Bill Clinton and Arnold Schwarzenegger? You could put that on pay-per-view. Boy, you could put that on the Spice Channel. And that's the beauty of this matchup. They would have to stick to the issues because the personal stuff would just be too devastating. The mudslinging would have to get way too nuanced. I never lied under oath about the asses I grabbed. We're talking about two dudes who smoke pot and love cigars and Hummers. Would be the you don't want to go there election. So that's my proposal, the 22nd Amendment for Article 2, and then we can bring it on. Get well, Mr. President, I'm serious about this.
Announcement made earlier today, you may have heard about this, that I'm going to leave the show in 09.
Well, okay. All right.
Let me explain. Let me explain how these things work. About 6 months ago, I sat down here with the folks at NBC, and they said, we want to re-up. And I said, okay, what do you want to do? Because I don't have a manager and agent. I like the people I work with. They're nice folks. And they said, and this is a high-paying job. Oh, it's a great-paying job. So they said, listen, we would like to do 5 more years. I said, great, I'd love to do 5 more years. And that was 6 months ago, and then time went by. There's all talk about Conan O'Brien. Will he go to ABC? Will he go to one of these other networks? And they came to me and they said, we don't want to lose Conan O'Brien. And I said, okay, what does that mean? And they said, we think Conan would be a good replacement, as I do. Conan is a gentleman, funny, the hottest late-night guy out there. Excellent. And I said, you know something? I don't want to see Conan go anywhere else. I'm 59. I'll be 59 years old when this leaves. 5 years from now. That's 1,200 shows. They're not going anywhere tomorrow. And I said, you know, there's really only one person who could have done this into his 60s, and that was Johnny Carson. I think it's fair to say I'm no Johnny Carson. So I called up my buddy, I called up my buddy Jerry Seinfeld. I said, Jerry, what do you think, you know? And Jerry quit his show when it was the most popular. And I'm proud to say this show has been number one. We will keep it number one. And then in 09, I'll say, Conan, it's take it over. It's yours. Because, you know, you can do these things until they carry on a stretcher. Or you can get out when you're still, you know, you're still doing good and think, I'm not quitting show business. You know, I've... But I realize I'm not spending enough time with my cars. But anyway, this is not tomorrow. It's 5 years from today. And I want to say I don't think there's a better choice. Because, you know, when I took this show over, boy, there was a lot of animosity between me and Dave and who's going to get it. And quite frankly, a lot of what I thought, well, good friendships were permanently damaged. And I don't want to see anybody ever have to go through that again. Because this, you know, this show is like a dynasty. You hold it, and then you hand it off to the next person. And I don't want to see all the fighting and all, and who's better, and nasty things back and forth in the press. So right now, here it is. Conan, it's yours. See you in 5 years, buddy.
Poor Jay is lying through his teeth. I'm one of the only people that have had a lot of bad things to say about Jay Leno, and it's nothing personal. From all reports, he's a really nice guy. You just don't ever hear bad things about Jay Leno. Oh, Jay did this, and Jay did that, and Jay's a mean guy, and Jay manipulated this and contrived that. You just don't hear that about Jay. My problem with him, he's just lazy. He doesn't want to work. He's kind of like Bush. He fought real hard for the job, but once he got there, he just wants to coast. So nothing personal against Jay. Jay's just not that funny. I'm pretty sure not being nominated for Emmy helped to push him out the door because everybody got a nomination for an Emmy. Everybody did. You can't name a stand-up comedian that didn't get a nomination. Everybody but Jay got one. So NBC decided to give him the door. And Jay, I know this was hard on him. You know, I don't remember if it was the day after his father died or his mother died, but Jay came out and did a real good job of it. I mean, you know, Christ, one of your parents dies, and this was like on whatever Wednesday, he came out Thursday and did his normal show, and after the monologue, he did, you know, about 5 minutes over, you know, how I think it was his dad, the one I saw. His mother died earlier, I think, and then he eulogized his dad, talking about, oh, you know, he just told a couple of funny stories and how he was going to miss him and all that. To me, Jay looked in worse shape talking about losing the show than he did losing his folks. He also did a thing when Phil Hartman died. He did a thing about how tough it was to lose that close a friend, but trust me, The Tonight Show is his best friend, and I mentioned this on the page, but him giving up The Tonight Show is just about as easy as Clinton giving up the White House. You know, they had to get all the wild horses to chase Jay out of NBC, but like a trooper, he said, fine, you know, no sense in burning the bridge. Maybe they offered him, you know, we're going to kick your ass out of the building, but we'll let you come back and do a yearly special, kind of like a Bob Hope thing or something. But anyway, that was real sad where they put the big F on old Jay. Jay gave him 11 years. He's going to end up giving him 16. He made him number one unfairly. I mean, the location is what made him number one, not Jay's talent or Jay's hard work. But, you know, you make a network number one and they push you out the door. How will Conan do at the earlier hour? It's hard to say. I mean, obviously in 5 years he'll mature a little bit. But if you've ever seen Conan, and I'll bet you have, a lot of times he'll just do these, you know, he'll come out and he'll start wiggling and he'll start doing these very odd little voices and he'll wiggle his butt and he'll start doing the snake dance and stuff. And it's like, you know, I think that's for the stoners who've been smoking for hours and hours. By the time you get to midnight, you know, you're pretty baked. Conan's audience, I'm guessing. And I'm not sure how that's going to play at 10:30 in Central, 11:30 on the coasts. But anyway, how sad. But I wonder what Conan's take was on this.
Well, folks, we have a big show tonight. We got a lot of fun stuff planned. I am going to talk about something right up front. Some of you probably saw this in the newspaper today. It was announced yesterday that I'll be doing this show for about 4.5 more years, and then I'm going to take over the Tonight Show here on NBC, which is pretty amazing. That's nice. This is a huge thing for me, something I've dreamt about for a long time. I think people in comedy only can dream about something like this. So I am incredibly humbled and thrilled to get this amazing opportunity. And I did want to say, give my heartfelt thanks to everybody at NBC that made this possible, and particularly to Jay Leno. Jay Leno has been a big supporter of mine, a good friend to me for 11 years when I first showed up at this network, and he's been incredibly kind and gracious about the whole thing, and he's a class act. And so to everybody at NBC, but particularly Jay Leno, a huge thank you, and I hope I can live up to that challenge.
You know, I do like Conan. He's not as lazy as Jay. And he's got, besides Triumph the Insult Dog, he's got the Masturbating Bear. He's got some other... I accidentally caught him last night. I don't make an appointment to see him, but last night he mentioned that when they moved to Tonight Show, they were going to have to tone some things down a little bit. He said things like the Masturbating Bear, and if you're not familiar with the Masturbating Bear, it's a man in a giant bear costume. It's, you know, 6-7 feet tall, and he has a diaper on. And the bear comes out. He never says anything, but the bear comes out. He's introduced as the Masturbating Bear, and he comes out and he sticks one hand in his little diaper there, and he starts doing the really fast up and down motion, and it's just as funny as it can be. I mean, it's a masturbating bear. What are you going to do? And so last night Conan said, you know, we're going to have to tone things down when we move into the earlier time slot. Things like the Masturbating Bear, we're going to have to pixelate the Masturbating Bear. So the Masturbating Bear comes out, and they pixelate his face while he masturbates. So, change is coming, not around the corner, 5 years from now. But in a way, it was sad to see him get rid of old Jay that way. But, geez, who said show business was a business with a heart? A salute to Conan. Maybe we'll get some better comedy after 5 long years waiting for Jay.
Murdoch's other media outlets tried to repair the damage done to Bush with a hard-hitting look at the world of the imaginary. Fox News was forced to admit it ran not one but 2 fake news stories slamming Kerry this past weekend. One featured comments from a group called Communists for Kerry, which turned out to be a satirical group of Bush supporters. The other was a post on its website written by chief political correspondent Carl Cameron, who claimed that after the debate, Kerry called himself, quote, a metrosexual, before proclaiming, women should like me, I do manicures. Fox News spokesperson soon apologized for the article, saying it was the result of fatigue and bad judgment, which incidentally happens to be the mission statement behind Your World with Neil Cavuto.
You're unbelievable.
Giving ditto monkeys the red ass. It's Bart Cobb.